Our scripture reading today is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our sermon today from Becky Van Horn is The Man in the Mirror.
Can you hear me now? All right, awesome. Blessings on you all. So what is Jesus talking about here in this scripture? Looking in the mirror and walking in what you look like? Well, first off, mirrors in ancient times and Bible times were made from any smooth surface that could be polished up so you could see yourself. And if you recall, the women of Israel gave their mirrors, it says in the scriptures in Deuteronomy, to build the sea that went in the tabernacle. Well, that was polished brass. And so they polished it really highly so they could see themselves, sort of, if you think you could see yourself in that. Anyway, so it might not be so hard to walk away and forget what you look like. Okay. Nonetheless, what does this scripture mean? It means when you sit here in church and hear the word of God taught to you, and you go out and live the opposite of what you're taught. That's basically what that means. You're living a double life. You present yourself one way on Sabbath, you'll walk out the door and live like the world. The last sentence of this scripture tells us not to be polluted by that world. In James 1:25, it says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So we got to think about what we're doing. Think about what comes out of your mouth. You know, it talks about in 26, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Sometimes I have difficulty with that. I'm sure we all do. But as an example of this, last week I was doing a wax on a girl, and she was asking me questions about surgery and about the surgery I'd had before. And in the process of talking to her, she says, "Oh, Jesus." And I said, "Yes, you know what? Jesus really helped me through that the last time." And she was like, I'm so sorry. You know, people don't realize what's coming out of their mouths. They don't realize they're taking God's name in vain a lot. And I hear it a lot in the beauty shop. And sometimes I can't take it. And I'll go up to them and say, "Yes, God is wonderful, isn't he?" Well, it says here, if you obey the perfect law and live by it, you're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. If you seek out the Lord, he gives you freedom in that seeking out. Okay, verse 26. If you guys want to keep your Bibles open, that'd be good. Verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Okay, The word religion in the New Testament means the outward expression of religion and the content of faith. Okay, so what does that mean? I got to thinking about it, and I think it means this: putting feet to your faith and action to your words. We were talking about this in Sabbath school this morning. Like I said, you guys already preached the sermon for me today. And it was so cool because on my way home from work this week, I listened to American Family Radio, and they do little quips here and there. And Tony Evans was speaking, and he spoke to this very thing, and it was so cool. And he said, faith is measured by what you do, not by what you talk about doing. Faith is measured by what you do, not what you talk about doing. So, from the Old to the New Testament, God admonishes us as we go on down through this scripture. God admonishes us to take care of orphans and widows. So, in Bible times, if you were a widow and you didn't have a son, you were in deep trouble. Deep trouble. If the synagogue community didn't help take care of you and feed you, you were going to starve to death, more than likely. Especially if you were older and couldn't function well and couldn't go out and glean from people's fields. That's why there were laws set up for the Israelites to take care of orphans and widows and foreigners. They set up laws so that the farmers would leave pieces in their fields so the widows, orphans, foreigners could go and glean from those fields so they wouldn't starve to death. So God was taking care of that. You know, and God says in the scriptures, you will always have the poor among you. So he was providing for them. And the cool thing was that every 3 years, the tithe of those fields was given to the widows, orphans, foreigners, and the priests to take care of their needs every 3 years. And this is an interesting thing that I didn't realize either until I was studying, that the failure of Israel over time to provide for the widows and orphans was part of the reason they were exiled to Babylon. Let's read this in Isaiah, first chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read to you out of here, starting with verse 4. Ah, a sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire. Sounds a little bit like California. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty has left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I found it really interesting how this paralleled with this little piece of scripture in James. The Israelites right here were living a double life. They were worshiping God on the Sabbath and going out and doing the stuff like everybody else, worshiping the idols, partaking in the sin that was going on with all of those peoples around them. God was sick of what they were bringing into the temple. He was sick of their mess. He was sick of their mess. And at the end of this, I love it because he's still offering to them forgiveness. He still offered them forgiveness. I'm going to go back to India again. And I know I've talked about it before, but lots of times when we go out, Vasanta always took extra change with her because there were always people knocking on the windows, wanting money, begging. A woman and her children, she had a baby in arms and two little kids with her, more than likely a widow, needing help. Vasanta was there to give it. Widows in that country, oftentimes by their children, are put out on the street. It's a terrible practice that the Hindus have. We saw many old women sitting on the sidewalk with their worldly possessions around them begging to keep alive. Their kids would take all their assets and shove mom out the door. Pastor P would always preach against that. He tried to educate his congregation. You do not do that. They even had taken in an old widow and put her upstairs of their bungalow, and the roof was caving in, but at least she was off the street, and they would help provide for her. They kept orphan boys when we were there 10 years ago now. The government has since come in and said, you can't do that anymore. So they farmed those children out to family members in their congregation, and Pastor P gives each of those families $50 a month to help take care of those kids. That's putting feet to your faith. You know, even though you might not be physically able to partake or participate or do putting feet, quote unquote, to your faith, there, every time you give to an organization that does those kinds of things, you are putting feet to your faith. Like Samaritan's Purse a week ago on American Family Radio was asking for people to come to Northern California to be Jesus in skin, to pray with people, to cry with people, to just be there, just to love on people. There's another organization called 8 Days of Hope that goes in after hurricanes and things like that to rebuild people's homes. And the opportunities that they are given is phenomenal. And I was just reading in the paper here in Centerburg, this tomorrow. One of the churches in town, Center Point Church, it's been a couple of years ago, I think, they started this program where they've asked the other churches in the community to not have church once a quarter. And on that Sunday morning, they go to the elementary school, get the list of things that need to be done in the community. Even elderly people have them come and clean their yards up. Whatever needs to be done, they're raking leaves, fixing toilets, whatever needs to be done for some of these old people. They're painting down at the park. They're doing stuff at the high school, getting things ready for school to start at the elementary. They do this all morning. And as a result of them starting to do this, the entire community is now involved in doing this. And the people that get Meals on Wheels during the week don't get them on the weekends. So they take all of those people in our community lunch that day. It's really cool. I just feel blessed to live in a really tight-knit community like that that is actually putting feet to their faith. So, I know you all studied Romans this morning. Let's go back to Romans. Yeah. There, it's in this Bible. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through to the end, 21. This is kind of a Christian code of conduct, if you will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So don't be polluted by the world. Be in the world, but not of the world, as we talked about in Sabbath school. Do what the word says, and you're going to be blessed. But be the man or woman in the mirror, but remember what you look like. You're reflecting Jesus to the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name.